started it to remind the lamadness and touch name of Rabat to show who Halberstadt.
Good morning, everybody.
Chaydish.
Okay, I want to divide the time up today to start off with Dvar Agoda to explain a few words in davening, then afterwards to speak at Dvar Halacha, continuing the last speech I gave here about Ribbis. Ribbis, yes. Steht in Pasuk in Parashas Ekev, Perik Yud, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ki Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki Hashem Elokeichem, Hu Elokei Elokim, Va'adonai Adonim, Hokeil Hagadol Hagibor Va'hanoira, Asher Lo Yisafonim Lo Yikach Shoichad. Moshe Rabbeinu puts the following titles to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hokeil Hagadol Hagibor Va'hanoira. We know these words very well from Shemoneh Esra. But we don't say them because of Moshe Rabbeinu. We say them because of the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, who restored the crown to its glory, Hechziru HaTorah LeYoshno, when they came back from Golos Babel, which we'll explain with the Gemara in Yuma. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the titles HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaGdoil, HaGibor VaHanoira. What do these words mean? Says the Gemara in Brachas, in the ninth Perek, Locha Hashem HaGdula VaHagvura. So the same, Hagadol Elagibor is the same as Hashem Agdula Vagvura. Says the Gemara, Lecha Hashem Agdula refers to Maase Bereishis. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and together with that goes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the world living. Hagibor, Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu displayed might, took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, which everybody spoke about, Lil Seda, the rest of Pesach. Habahanoira, what does Hanoira mean? Awesome. There's a pasuk we say in davening in Hoidu, Noira Elohim Mimikdoshecho. The Noira goes, is seen, displayed in the Beis HaMikdosh, Noira Elohim Mimikdoshecho. Came along Yirmiyahu Novi in the Haftarah of Parshas Bahar, which here in England you won't learn this year. Yirmiyahu Novi says a very powerful tefillah, and he speaks Hokeil Hagadol Hagibor, and doesn't say Hanoira. Says the Gemara in Yuma on the Samach Tesamud base. Midas Ha'emes. We do learn this year. When Bahar.
When do you catch up?
We miss it.
They catch up.
We catch up. Sorry, got it wrong. Yes. Pashas Bahar. Okay. What?
They catch up. We don't catch up. They're
holding a week ahead already.
They're a week ahead. So they have 2 sets together.
No. Yeah? Okay. Anyway, look. Okay, whoever is Pashas Bahar, whoever's going to line it, remember these words, Hokeil HaGodol, HaGibor, No Hanoira. Why? Midas HaEmes, Yirmiyahu was standing a step before Chorban Beis HaMikdosh, HaKastim Bo'er, Lelochto, the batteries of the battering rams are knocking on the walls of Yerushalayim, it's imminent, Chorban Beis HaMikdosh is imminent, Yirmiyahu Novi knows the Goyim are going to come into the Beis HaMikdosh and do what they like there. Nochrim Mekarkarim Beicholoi Ayenoi Oisov. Mokim HaMikdosh is a frightful place, it's awesome. Zorah Korev Yumos. Yisrael's only allowed 11 Amos into the Azorah. Koinim up to the Ulam. Ben Ulam Ulam is Beach only for Avoida. Koin Godel's allowed even into the Heichol. If not, even if him, he's not allowed. How can it be that the Goyim will be able to go into the Beis HaMikdosh and nothing will happen to them? Ayenoi Oisov, said Yirmiyahu to himself, I can't say the words that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hokeil HaGodol HaGibor VaHanoira. It's not truthful. We're not going to see now the Noira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Noira Elokim Mimikdoshecho. Yirmiyahu dropped that. Half a generation later in Bovel, Daniel was davening. Daniel says, Hokeil HaGodol, and stop there. Nochrim Mishavdim Bebanov. Babel are enslaving Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. Ayeg Vuroysov. What does it mean, Ayeg Vuroysov? We said from the Gemara, L'cha Hashem Agudulov, Agvura, Yitzis Mitzrayim. Until then, Klal Yisrael were free. There was a meaning to the Yitzis Mitzrayim. They were free men. They weren't enslaved by everybody. They had their own melucha, their own land. Now Klal Yisrael was exiled, enslaved in Babel. Ayeg Vuroysov. We're back to where we started. Said Daniel when he davened, it's not MS to say, okay, la God la Gibor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gvura is not visible today. We don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Gvura of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're back to square one. Daniel dropped that. Came along Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, and they said, okay, la God la Gibor v'Anoira. And our Shmoyne Esra we say from the Nusach of Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. Why did they get the title Anshei Knesset HaGdoila? Because they restored the glory Hechziru HaTorah LeYoshno to what Moshe Rabbeinu they and what. But Yirmiyahu Novi had a very valid question, a very live question. Daniel asked a very live question. Said Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, Adarabba Zuhi Gvurosoi. This is where we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might. Shekovish es Yitzroi Shenoisein Erech HaPayim LaRoshoim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds his anger to the Roshoim and punishes them later. Now here, one can easily make a little mistake, which is a very serious mistake. We know the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says, Zeu Gibor HaKadosh es Yitzroi. We know what that means because we have urges, we have our feelings. And when we have to overcome that, Chazal tell us that is called a gibor. That is power. Now a person overpowers his feelings, overpowers his impulses, and does the right thing or withholds from doing the wrong thing. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is not applicable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not subject to feelings, is not subject to midas, to avodas hamidas like we are. The meaning by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because of his gevura, his kovish, his yitzroi. What we call Yitzroi, in a moshul form. The reason why a human being would have to act when angered as soon as possible, because his chances and his options might be running out. He doesn't know what's going to be tomorrow. He might be all strong today, not scared of anybody, but he doesn't know what the future is going to bring. If he has his chance now to take his revenge, he'll do it now because it might be the last chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the absolute Gibor. Time isn't running away from him. Nothing will overpower him. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give the Oynash at the best possible time in the most powerful way later. Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gvura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see the Goyim destroying the Beis HaMikdash and not give them the punishment immediately. Titus got a punishment later. Instead of dropping dead as he walked into the Beis HaMikdash, he suffered for many, many years and still that wasn't the end. Scattered his ashes, and Malachim gathered the ashes, burnt them again. Everybody knows that Gemara of Titus. And Anizokin. A real Gibor can decide when he's going to give the punishment. A superficial Gibor has to act whilst he's riding on the horse. When he's not on the horse anymore, he knows he won't ride on the horse forever. That is the meaning of a Gibor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the true might and can deliver the punishment, can deliver the revenge at the time that he sees fit, at the best possible time, in the best possible way. That is Heinein Gvuroysov. To see the Goyim going into the Beis HaMikdash, and nothing happens to them immediately, and we know that nothing slips by. That is the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahanoira, Daniel said, where do we see, Yirmiyahu said, where do we see the Noira? The Beis HaMikdash, a scary place. Somebody goes into the wrong place, no such thing. The Goyim are going to come into the Beis HaMikdash and do what they like. How can that be? Says Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, Hey Nei Noira Oisov, Shel Molei Moiroi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heich Umo Achas Yechoilo Leskayim Beino Umois. How can one nation exist among the Umois? We're talking about one sheep surrounded by 70 hungry wolves. Now let me explain, why do we see the same Hanoira, that is the Ilmole Moiroi, where is the Moiroi here? To praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the title Noira, which was applicable and visible, understood by all, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, why is this the answer? The answer is, We know the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says there was 10 Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll take a few for example. Noira Elikim, where did they see this Noira in the Beis HaMikdash? The Mishnah tells us. The rain never extinguished the fire of the Mizbeach. Okay, it was a big strong fire. Well, a Manchester rain, which I once saw a postcard, that what's the weather like? Well, it rained twice last week, once for 3 days, once for 4 days. But a little spray rain, it's just wet the whole time. In Yerushalayim, the Gemara says in Tanis, in the second Beis HaMikdash, there were two recorded rainfalls, one in Choni Amagel, and the other one, Nagdimon Ben Gurion, where by Choni Amagel we know that Choni Amagel told them to go and check whether the Even HaToyen had become submerged, had totally been covered over with water. Even HaToyen was something pretty tall, at least the height of a person, and that in a very short time had become, Yerushalayim came flooded. Nagdimon Ben Gurion, the Gemara says, Tana, that the raindrops, the Chachomim estimated the raindrops to be the size to fill the mouth of a chovis. Pretty big. Let's say the size of a football, I don't know how big a chovis is, even if it's the size of a fist. Raindrops, massive raindrops, came gushing down, and it doesn't say anywhere that the Mishnah Perkei Avos, that the fire never extinguished the fire, wasn't applicable on the day Choni Amagel davened, and not on the day that Nagdimon Ben Gurion davened. Were somebody to have witnessed that? What are the feelings? You see a fire and the rain. You see the rain should really be putting out the fire. You see two laws of nature which are clashing, and the fire continues burning, the rain continues falling on the fire, and the fire continues. At first, person might think, well, maybe I'm seeing wrong. Maybe there's no fire. No, the fire is burning. Well, maybe there's no raindrops. No, it's wet. If a person to witness such a thing, a person would feel very, very insecure. We feel very secure as long as Newton's laws of things falling from up to down. And we know things might not always happen the way we plan, but we know that when you press on the brake in the car, normally it stops. If you press on the accelerator, then it fuels the engine with petrol. We know the way things work. If things were start working backwards and not the way we think, we'd feel very, very, very insecure. Very, very scared. It's very scary. Another example, the wind never moved the smoke coming up from the Mizbeach. And what's a wind? A little wind. It says never, ever. So we're talking about a massive, massive storm, the sort of storms that we know about a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago, the Kennedy Airport in New York was shut down for over 2 days because of gale force winds. Jumbo jets, massive things. The Rambam says in Shmoneh Prokim, of imagining the impossible, an iron ship flying. Well, today we see it. But if somebody's ever stood nearby, the Rambam's still right. Something you can't imagine. Can't imagine. When you actually appreciate the size of a plane, and these massive planes flying around all over the world, the winds that can move them around like feathers. It's dangerous. They keep them far away from such a storm. Such a storm in Yerushalayim. What happened to the smoke on the Mizbeach? Went up as if nothing, as if there's no wind. How could to see that? They stood floating, and when they did their shtachavoy, they had four amos in between. Everybody knows about four amos in between. They could say bidoy without the other person hearing. But you know what oimdim tzufim means? Anybody calculated the square amos, footage meters of the Ezras Yisrael, 135 amos wide. 11 amos deep. How much space does that give us, Rabbi Dov Moshe? In amos?
Thousands.
Not so much. A little bit more than 1,350. Not very big. Maybe the Machzeket that's big shul might be already closing on that square space. If you measure it in square foot or amos or meters, not such a big space. How many people went into the Azara? Well, it says in the Gemara in Pesachim in the fifth Perek that once Agrippus wanted to count how many people were there. And they counted 1,200,000 animals. Kiflaim Ki Yotzei Mitzrayim. Yotzei Mitzrayim is registered as 600,000. Kiflaim is 1.2 million. 1.2 million carbonous Pesach. How much space does a sheep take up in respect to a person? Let's say 2.5 people. And let's ignore the sheep. Let's ignore the sheep. How many people can you fit into, let's say, 1,400 amos? Gavra ba'amsa Yosef? A person takes up an amos space if he's sitting. If he's standing, maybe, let's say, two-thirds. Okay, let's say two-thirds of an amma squared per person. How many people can you get in to 1,400 amos? How much? You haven't gone past 2,000. To get 2,000 people in there, Hatzolah won't cope with the fatalities and people dying from suffocation. Fact. To get 5,000 people in there, you couldn't dream about it. Now the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael went into Shechdei Korban Pesach in three groups, where the two first groups were massive and the little one they didn't get to have to. So if the little group was going to be 5,000 people or 10,000 people or 15,000 people, small group, let's say 200,000 people, whatever it is, more than 5,000 people, there's no way B'derech HaTeva to even dream of understanding how could so many people get into such a small space. And I'm talking about Omdim Tzufim, even before we get to Mishtachvim Revochim, how they could do Hishtach Havoya, Pishat Yodayim Raglayim, with a four amos empty space around each person.
Right.
To be in such a situation makes a person feel out of balance. Noira Elokim Mikdoshecho. Say Anshe Knesset HaGdoilah, the fact that Klal Yisrael exists, Uma Achas Ben Shivim Zeivim, that is the same, somebody who looks at it can see the same Noira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they could see with the rain pelting down on the fire, with the fire not being extinguished, with the wind not pushing around, with thousands, I'm not talking about the hundreds, even thousands of people get fitting into the Azara, with the animals. Or in Enem in Amido, I explained to a child, how big was the Kodesh Kodshim? So 10 amos. And the base of Mikdash? 20 amos. Very well. And how big was the Oren wide? 2.5. So I said, okay, so how much space was there on each side of the Oren? So I don't know where I was standing. I said it was in the middle. Says, well, 8.75 amos, 17.5 divided by 2. Okay, so I told her she's got the wrong answer. She said, well, how much was it then on the left side? So I said it was 10 amos on the left side. So I said, okay, how much was on the right side? She said 7.5. So I said, wrong. So I said, 10. So that can't be. Can't be. So I said, no. Both answers are right, and it was. That's the same idea. Where the laws of nature didn't happen, and the place had a law of its own, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach. No Elokim Kedoshecho. There was a Holocaust, and the Nazis did a very, very efficient job, together with Stalin's help as well, and Klal Yisrael is still here, flourishing. That, say, Anshe Knesset HaGdoilah, to see that, is the same as witnessing the fire in the base of Mikdash and the rain falling on it and the rain didn't extinguish the fire. To see the wind blowing and the smoke standing. How can one nation survive between all the Ummas, and the Ummas are active? They are active. I'm going to tell you, every time there's a terror attack, whether it was in Brussels or Paris, the numbers there were way, way bigger than it happened anywhere near Eretz Yisrael. And it's not as if the Arabs in Eretz Yisrael are sitting idle. Not at all. And it's not as if that they don't know how to work because they're working off the same plans. To explain it, no, they're not sitting idle. They are active, they are doing, and Klal Yisrael continues. That is, somebody who wants to see Noya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see it in the depth of the Golos with all the persecution of the Goyim. The more the Goyim persecute, you see it stronger. Now, that was the first thing, a little chizuk for davening, when we say every Shemini Esra, without fail, Hokeil, Hagodol, Hagibor, V'Hanoyo. Now, coming back to Hilchos Rivis, which we spoke about last time, I would first like to start answering two questions which were asked after last year. The first question was asked by Rabbi David Moshe. We spoke last time about that it's also to pay cheap for something in advance and only receive it later. Because that the giving the money now is giving a halva, and then when the price of the thing goes up later and you're getting it and you've decided to get it at the later time when it's more expensive, then it's like having received extra on the loan. So Rav David Moshe asked, how can one buy plane tickets in advance when they're much cheaper in advance? So to say British Airways, Lufthansa, Star Alliance and co, that won't help to say the goyim, because we have Jewish companies as well. The answer is, the way the, no, it's not, the price of the time, you're booking now a ticket for Sukkos. It's not, no, but you know, you're booking a ticket for Sukkos. It's like booking a holiday house, which hasn't been, no, the price now is of now. Yeah. If it's an open ticket, then yes. If it's an open ticket, you can fly whenever you like, then yes.
When the flight is, does not apply.
Well, I am selling washing machines. If you buy it now, it's the price is £100 everything, but I'm going to... And if you order it, if you're going to pay for it only next year, no difference. No difference. That's the answer. The answer is the way the... It doesn't work that they're giving you a discount because you're buying it early. The way the airline does it, they divide the amount of seats that they've got into different classes, whether it's ABC or U-class and W-class and Z-class. Now, each class has different terms and conditions, whether it's how much you have to pay, whether you can cancel it, refundable, non-refundable, how much points you get on your point scheme, all these various important things and non-important things. And the low cost, the low cost aren't Jewish. Now, you can buy a cheap ticket the day before as well sometimes, if they're empty. The way the normal airlines before the low cost, we don't have to deal with Jewish ones yet. But they're not taking less money, not giving you more for paying less early because they're receiving the money early. They want to fill their plane as quick as possible, that you don't fly with the other people. What? No, the way the normal companies work, that they have the cheap things, and the cheap things, the people that call up a travel agent and say, I want the cheapest ticket. Well, if you're 8 months in advance, well, as soon as the plane and the thing, then you can get the bottom class for very cheap. If you wait a bit longer, then those have been already chapped. So you have to buy the next one up. And buy the next one up. Sometimes the airline will see in low season that the plane's still empty. They'll prefer that people come and fly with them for, call it U-class, for bottom class, better than that they should fly with the start with a different company. And therefore they'll change classes. But they are selling different class tickets, not selling tickets in advance. You can sometimes find a bottom class ticket the day before flight, and by the time the credit card's even cleared and gone through, you're already back home. So the money, paying cheap there, is paying for what you're getting. You're buying a cheaper service and cheaper goods. That's the answer to that one.
When people are selling tickets for events.
That we spoke about, that it's a very serious problem. That was what we spoke about last time, is a very serious problem because. I'll tell you two cases. You have one case where you've got a block of holiday flats in Holiday Town. And since you've already got the flats now, and you can give the person, you can sell the person his holiday in summer holidays now for cheap, even though somebody's going to come along in summer holidays and the price is already spoken. If you come and take in season, it's much more expensive. But if you do it in a way that you're selling him now a chelak in the property which exists, in your ownership, you're selling him an ownership which the nafkamin of that ownership, this ownership is relevant to these dates in August. So you've sold him something now. He's bought now a percentage in a property on these conditions. The airline has not sold you any part of his plane. No, the seat of the plane is the same that I am booked to haul to make a show on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Now, I don't have any ownership in the hall. I might have paid a little deposit just that they don't give it to somebody else. I do not have any financial, any legal ownership of the hall. Maximum, they are... I'm selling the show now. I went to the hall and I've booked the hall for a certain date. I haven't paid for them. I have not been kona anything in the hall. Normal people, you pay ahead for a chasna hall, yeah? Yeah, you pay a deposit. What for? To secure it. But they haven't told you that we are now selling you the chasna hall per date from 7 o'clock till 12 o'clock. They haven't sold you anything.
They don't have to give you anything. They're giving you a permission.
Permission is non-existent. Permission? I will argue afterwards. Permission is abstract. We are not talking... You can't make a kinyan on anything abstract.
You can.
You can't.
You can.
You cannot.
You can. You have a look at that Gabriel. All these people would come along. Anybody answers that question, it's like a credit card. You can buy something of now.
A kinyan cannot be made.
As long as I'm paying now fully.
Okay, we'll argue afterwards.
All right.
Okay. Okay. We'll argue afterwards. Kenya? Now. Very good. Again, so if I've now made the deal with Alton Towers, let's say, that I've now bought a chelik in Alton Towers, for that, where the relevance of it is that day, so now I can, whatever I have, I can now sell out. Then I can do it. But if I haven't, I've just made an arrangement with Alton Towers. And I'm at the moment taking the money. And I'm going to give people the day out, which is worth much more at the time. That is a serious problem.
I'm giving it them now.
You can't. The Alton Towers won't recognize the local cheder ticket on...
Alton Towers, if I give them a share in
Alton Towers. I said, we'll say, we'll argue later. Take me to Alton Towers, we'll argue there.
What's the deal? They're all doing it.
Go and ask them. Maybe they've actually taken a Kenyan in whatever the thing. And then they're selling you their chelik, they've ordered the hall. So they're the seat that they're allocating you in the hall, etc., etc. But just to talk about things in the air is a severe problem. To work ways around it, maybe they're doing everything with a Heta Iska, and Heta Iska is also not so strong. Not everything works just to say Heta Iska and off we go. But I'm just... Discount to pay... No, when I say, if you pay by Lag BaOmer, then you get your Alton Towers ticket for £5. Anybody who buys after that will be £10. From Rosh Chodesh it will be £15. That is, now how much is it worth on Sukkos? Buy at the gate for £25.
You're not saying that.
Okay, we argued about this last time.
£25 is a ticket. You
can
pay
the earlier. Okay, we argued about this last time. I just... If he has not received the goods now, then he is now given money to the person who's taken the money from him. The person selling has taken money. If he's only going to give the goods later, then that is when he's repaying his loan. Since it's derech mekachememka, it's not ribis ksusim in atoyah, it's also medrabonim. Again, now, talking about... Because now he's getting the property. If you're paying the schiris now, the date today is in May, and now I'm renting the property from January 17 till January 18, and pay now early, that is asa. Unless he gives him a kinyan now for later. That means whenever you buy a property, total ownership. That ownership includes the use of it now, in 5 minutes' time, 10 minutes' time, next year, 3 years' time, 30 years' time, 100 years' time. So you can sell a little time slot, you can sell a chelik in the property, but no get to that time slot.
Why is that the same as the ticket to the amusement park?
Because when you've got the property, you've got the house, you can sell it for next week, you can sell it, schiris as a sort of a sale. Sell it for this week, sell it for next week, sell it for next year. But you're selling this house, which I have, and it's my legal property that I can sell on. Alton Towers, you have not yet bought it, you have not rented, even if schiris and you can sublet, okay, but you haven't yet got anything from them. From who? You're selling tickets now, you print the tickets with the name of your cheder on, and you've made an arrangement to Alton Towers. When are you going to pay them? Alton Towers did not sit down to make a contract with you that they're selling you their amusement park as per that date. If that deposit was a Kenyan kesef on karka, and you now have ownership of that thing, then you can sub-sell your pun. I'm not saying that if you do it that way, you do it that way. If you do it that way, you've done it the wrong way. Now,
so that will depend on whether if you, for example, he took the money from you, he didn't give you the property.
He didn't speak it out, then it's a problem.
So you see what I'm saying? He's just got money, he's got that.
Correct? Okay. Sorry, that also what the other question which they asked last time, and we're running out of time. What is the difference between borrowing and lending? Why can you... Somebody wants to use your car, but not for free. Pay me £25 a day. That's called rental. Why can't you rent out money? What's the difference?
You're not using...
It's a big parasha, but... Areg alachas on 1 foot, the difference is that, no, money's not abstract.
It's gone. You're using the money, so it's not there.
Now it's out.
That's what your answer is.
Milva lights on it, no. When you're giving something, he's not supposed to give back those actual notes. He has to give back the value, that is called a loan. However, when he has to give the actual thing back, that is called schirus. Now, there are certain cases, which we're not going to go into now, where something can look like schirus, but if there is full achrayas on the person who's taking it, then that might be considered as a loan. That means the wear and tear, when a person pays for rental, he's paying for wear and tear. That's what he's taking it for. If the wear and tear and any possible onus is going to be the responsibility of the person who's taking the car, then that possibly could be considered that the car is considered a tzoin barzel, and that might be called a halva and could be serious problems. That's just to answer that question. Now, the new issue I wanted to address today is something which Chazal calls sabasa. This is nogea to things which do not have a fixed price. Sometimes it could be petrol. Sometimes the price of petrol changes from day to day. Every 2-3 days is the price up, price down. Now, for some reason, prices normally go up, but it does happen that they can come down as well. Some eggs, sometimes, they're all different locally produced produce due to supply and demand. Sometimes it can be cheap, sometimes it can be expensive. Let's talk about case of petrol. Somebody takes a car from his friend, from his neighbor, irrelevant whether he pays for the use of the car or not. He gives him on a full tank of petrol, and he has to give back another full tank of petrol next week. Now, what happens if the price of petrol goes up? What is he supposed to do? Took petrol, give back petrol, no? Well, says the halacha, that one is not allowed to do such a loan.
Why not?
Because if the price goes up of the petrol, and he gives back a full tank of petrol, let's say a tank of petrol today costs £50, and next week he's giving it back and it'll be worth £60, then that is something which has to do with ribis.
It's an abstract thing which comes from the outside.
No, it's not. He's given him back to the value of £60 when he took to the value of £50. Again, what? Now, one thing, Chazal made a clear definition of the market is divided into two parts. There's money and there's goods. In Lashon of the Gemara, there's Peira and there's Tiva. Tiva is matbeis, currency, and Peira is fruits. But it doesn't have to be fruits, it's anything which is not the going currency. Currency, in England, in the UK, you never talk about the sterling being inflated or deflated. You talk about the price of petrol goes up, the price of food goes up, the price of property goes up and down. But the sterling stays a pound, and £5 stays £5. What you get for the £5, well, you'll say that the bread got more expensive, the bread got cheaper. The petrol went up, petrol down. You don't say, well, tank of petrol, and well, the sterling's now worth cheaper because I only pay £60 for the petrol. That's called, to give a halva in the local currency, one can give it back the local currency, irrelevant of what's going on, the inflation and deflation around it, because that is currency. However, if it's not currency, anything else but the currency, whether it's eggs or petrol or which does not have a fixed price, then one is prohibited from doing such a loan. Therefore, and what happens if somebody did give out his car with a full tank of petrol and give it back next week with a full tank of petrol? Well, if the price of petrol is the same, there's no problem. If the price of petrol is cheaper, also no problem. He gave back a full tank of petrol. However, the price of petrol went up, he has one of two things to do. Either he puts in £50 of petrol in, or he pays him £50. As the again, if you make a contract and sit down and write all the little letters exactly the way you want it to be, and also I'm talking to somebody who said the car, it's got a full tank, give back a full tank. You can't. Mechila doesn't help by ribis. Mechila does not help by ribis because every ribis is not stealing. Ribis is not robbery. Ribis is not theft. Ribis. Please. Okay. Huh? There is a way out. First, we have to understand what is asan and how to get around it. And Chazal gave two ways where it will be mutter to do it. But first, we have to understand the rule, what the problem is, and then we can work around how to play safe. Now, this is not, this is a different, this is a takana of Sa B'Sa. Schar Ganata is a different issue. Here is Sa B'Sa, they asked to give a loan of a Sa, of an amount, to get back an amount of produce, where the Mishnah talks about a wheat kernel, because they're at a time when the price is unstable. When we're talking about the money is always £100 is £100, and £50 is £50, and that stays the same, irrelevant of inflation and deflation. However, goods, we will look at their value and translate the goods into money. So you give a full tank of petrol worth £50, and you want to give it back with a full tank of petrol. Now, what happens? What happens if somebody asks a bag of sugar question? A neighbor comes along and says, "You got a bottle of milk?" "Oh, I just started it. I need it. Well, I've got nothing to get the drum for breakfast." "Okay, take the started bottle of milk." "Okay." Comes back and wants to give a full bottle of milk. That is osa. Because it is osa. That is osa. He's giving him more milk because he borrowed milk.
So what? Just giving him more milk.
What? Because he lent the milk.
So what?
However, a minute. Now, what are you going to say? That he's moichalit to him. Why is he being moichalit to him? He didn't go with a teaspoon of milk to his neighbor one morning and said, "I want to be moichalit with a teaspoon." That because he borrowed it.
That's complicated, I'm sorry.
The Racharonim say that mechila is very dangerous when it comes to ribis. Do you know why? Why? When somebody's a robber, when somebody's a thief, yeah, he took something without permission. Were the fellow to have given permission, he wouldn't be thieving. Yeah? So if he's moichel, I'm moichel if you take it. Well then, no problem, use your car for 5 minutes. Didn't ask him, he was moichel in the petrol. But when he says, can I please lend the milk? Now, he, Alpidin, is mechayev to give back. How much is in a bottle of milk? A pint less 3 drops. To give back a full pint because he borrowed a pint less 3 drops, that is ribis. If he didn't say that he's going to give back, then it won't be ribis, ktutso. However, it's still not allowed. However, the way a lot of neighbors go, when your neighbor comes and asks you for an egg, you didn't look how many eggs he took, and you're not going to ask it back for him, and you muckle it when you give it him. You muckle him the whole egg. So he gives back an egg, he gives back 2 eggs. He took a 3-quarters bag of sugar, and whatever, you're going to knock on your neighbor for a bag of sugar. If you muckle the loan from the beginning, and you didn't give him a loan, then it's okay whatever he gives back. I'm not saying that most people don't work like that with their neighbors. But as a rule, if it's being calculated, I lent from you a bottle of milk, then you have to give back exactly what's more. In which case, is one allowed? If you knew it was nearly full, but you can't remember whether it was 2/3 full or 3/4 full, so now he's giving him back to be sure that he's given what he took. That's not called ribis. Now he's giving it, not because he's giving it because he wants to give him the full amount what he took from him. But if he knows it's definitely not more than 3/4, to give him 7/8, and he knows that's more than 3/4, that is forbidden because of ribis. To say moichel, every case of ribis, when somebody goes and says, "Can I have a loan, please?" says, "Well, 10%. Okay, it's fine, I'm investing, I'm going to make 33%. Well, I'll pay 10%, that's quite fine with me. He's being moichel him. And the Torah says no. Torah says no. So what are you going to say he's moichel him? It's not going to help. If he's moichel the loan, see, there's no loan, so there's no ribis. Ribis only starts when there's a loan. But if there's no loan, if there is a loan, then it's going to be ribis. We're running out of time. This, what we're talking about, is only by pay, by money. Money is money. Now, Chazal gave 2 cases when one is allowed to. Things which have a fixed price. Things which the price is fixed. Prices always change from time to time. If you look what chickens cost last Pesach and what they cost this Pesach, I'm not sure if they're the same price. But the chickens don't normally change from week to week, from month to month. Normally, each season has its price. So if somebody borrows borrows a chicken by weight, if he borrows so much pounds of chicken from his neighbor or from his friend, and when he gives it back, the price happened to have gone up, that's okay. Because at the time of the loan, the price was fixed. It's Yotza Hashah. All what we're talking about is things which have a fluctuating, moving price the whole time. Another very common example, which is very, very, very difficult, and people without knowledge can very easily be nechshol, is foreign currency. Sterling in England is money, dollars, Swiss francs, euros, UNs, rubles, you name it, shekels, really shekels, that is considered here not as pay. Therefore, somebody says, oh, I'm going to America. Oops, I've got nothing to take a taxi from the airport. You got dollars? Here, give me $500. I'll bring you back. Whatever, I'll pay you back. Now, that is forbidden because the price of dollars is today, tomorrow, and every day different. So, if somebody was to do that without not being careful, he would have to pay back the price of the dollar at the time he took it, or $500 if it's equivalent or less. But definitely not more. You can't pay back $500 if it's worth more. We're running out of time. They're going to shoot me. Say Chazal that if Yeshloy,
it's bias.
If the person taking the loan has a small, even a small amount of that good, of those goods, then he is allowed to take the loan. It's another whole schmooze. Exactly how it works, but not to go into that now. So if he has $1 bill. Then he's allowed to take a loan of hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars all on that $1 bill. However, if he doesn't have it, then he's doing a... The Achronim argue whether he's doing it is already at the time of the loan, or even when, only if it comes out later that the price went up. Or the other way is that it's a thing which has a fixed price. We did not speak about ordering goods where the person selling them does not have the goods. Because in that case, it does not help that he's got one tray of eggs and Rosh Chodesh Adar is taking money and orders for eggs for Pesach. It won't help him that he's got one tray of eggs and he's selling them by the box load. We did not talk about that. Just to recap on what we spoke about, that there is an Issa to give a loan of something which is not local currency. 2 points. If somebody did it be'issa, then he may not pay back to the same amount which might be a higher value later. He's allowed to pay back the same amount if it's that value or less, or he'll pay him money according to the price what it was at the time. Chazal gave a heter in the two cases when there is a fixed price, where the price is not something moving over the next few days, or that he has in his local possession a place which you can easily get to, even a small amount of what he's taking a loan. Thank you very much. What? Okay.